or let your love saturate our hearts, Lord. Let it affect and change our actions. Let it circumvent every problem, every wrong circumstance. Let it draw us, let this love draw us ever closer to you, Lord. Let this love, Lord, create a habitation in us. Not by our strength, Lord. Not by the exertion of our will. The thing that he reminded me of this morning, 1 Timothy 1 and 5 says that the goal of the instruction is love. The goal of the instruction is love. The whole point and whole purpose of anything that we do, the reason that we come to church is to learn how to love, to learn how to interact with this thing called love, to learn how to interact with this, which is probably the most predominant feature of this Creator who created us. When we interact with Him in love, when we begin to do that, things can begin to happen in our lives and in the lives of others that are totally unexpected. He wants to move in us through this love. He wants to strengthen us through this love. He wants to prepare us through this love. So I just, in everything, I want to just be obedient to what the Lord is doing and what He's saying. But the goal of the instruction is always going to be love. We don't always receive instruction as love. Sometimes we can receive instruction as quite something different, and it just makes us grumble and grouse. But the reality is, when the goal of it is love, then it doesn't matter how the instruction came. What matters is what we're going to do with it. When the prophet came knocking on my house door that one time and just telling me that, no, I can't go to every meeting, you know, the goal was love. It didn't feel like love. But the goal was still love. And you know what? What he said, what he did, put something in motion that you get to partake of every week. Because had I not stopped to go into every meeting, and had I not jumped in and done what he asked me to do, whether I liked it or not, I wouldn't be here doing this. God had something in mind. He had you in mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go with me to Ephesians 1. There are three prayers that we can see that Paul prayed. Isn't it amazing to see that in every one of these prayers, he mentions dunamis. Every one of these prayers, he mentions dunamis. Ephesians 1. And, you know, I've been quoting this one to you for a whole bunch. For quite a while now, because for probably 2 years now, I've said this one almost every day. Because there's something about what God is trying to connect with us in this prayer, and how we're to learn to connect with Him. And so in this prayer, he just starts in verse 17. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. His hope is to get you to Him. You know, in another place it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you realize that glory has a hope for you? We look at it the other way around, but glory has a hope for you. Glory has something in mind for you, because the person of glory, the Father Himself, has something in mind for you. He wants to do something that it creates such an abundance of life in you that it begins to change and transform not just you, but your whole neighborhood. Everything that touches you, everything that surrounds you. Glory has a hope for you. that we may know the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We've spoken about that since Christ in you. And what is the surpassing greatness of his dunamis toward us who believe? He wants us to understand this thing called dunamis. He wants to understand this power and this authority that he's giving out, this demonstration of who he is. The essence of who he is in dunamis. The expression of who God is. We see God as being so multifaceted. Well, guess what? The dunamis power that I'm seeing is just as multifaceted as he is. Because it's an expression of his nature. It's an expression of who he is. Going over to Ephesians 3, verse 16. I'm going to just cut right to it. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power, with dunamis, through his spirit in the inner man. That he would be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. And just hold your place here in Ephesians because we'll be back, but go over to Colossians. Colossians 1. In this prayer, we'll start in verse 9. Sounds so much like the one we just read in Ephesians. See, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Sounds so much like what we just heard. So that what? So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened, how? With all dunamis, according to his glorious might. Strengthened with all dunamis, according to his glorious might. He's wanting to accomplish something in you. In order to do that, he has to strengthen you for the day. He has to strengthen you and prepare you for the moment. Now that we've read there, we'll go back to Ephesians 3. But he's strengthening us with dunamis. When we're strengthened with dunamis, it says there were two things that began to happen when he was strengthened us with dunamis. One was that Christ begins to dwell in our hearts. And as Christ dwells in our hearts, there is something else that begins to happen. We begin to come into a knowledge of God, a knowledge of the love of God, a knowledge of the love that actually even surpasses our ability to know it and understand it. Sometimes it takes two things to make a product this right. I'll explain that. Do you know of a samurai sword? It's called a katana. A sword that the samurais, it's supposed to be probably the most wicked, deadly sword known to man. The way that they form that sword is different than all other swords because it has two different metals in it. There's two different metals used because they need the properties of both. They take the sword and they take the steel and they get the steel molten hot and then they begin to inject charcoal in it. And as they inject this charcoal into it, what happens then is that the carbide in the steel is injected into the steel. And the carbon changes the nature of the steel. And they'll have steel in that batch. They'll have more carbon and they have steel that has less carbon. There's a purpose for that. Once they've gotten all the material, all the slag and all the waste products, what they do in order to get that out, they begin to heat it, and then they fold it over and bend it, and then they heat it out again, and fold it over and bend it, and they heat it out again, and fold it over and bend it, and just beat it and stretch it and beat it and stretch it until only there's steel is all that's left. All the impurities are beaten out of it. If you've ever been pressed, you know what's going on. The impurities beaten out of you. But what they do is they beat the impurities out of it. And so then once they do that, then they begin to form. They take the high carbon, the steel with the high carbon rate in it, and they begin to make a channel. They make it into a V. Then they make the stuff with the low carbon in it, and they lay it inside. They make it to shape it to just fit inside that V. And then they take the whole thing and form it together. They melt it together. Make it into one object. Why is that? Well, because that high carbon steel was very, very super hard. And it will form this an incredible razor edge. The disadvantage of that is that if the whole sword was made of that, then it would be very brittle. But see, that lobe cognitive steel has great strength and it has flexibility. It's not brittle. So by using both, they get this sword that has the qualities, has the best of both qualities in it. And the whole purpose of that, and then they begin to do that, and then they heat it and quench it. And as they quench it, you know how the sword has that curve? That curve's caused because of the quench. Because the low carbon steel shrinks at a different rate than the high carbon steel, and it pulls it up. God has a point and a purpose. See, it took both those elements to begin to perfect us as human. It takes us knowing the love of God and having Christ dwelling within us to perfect us, to bring us into becoming the best weapon we could possibly be. It's the same as this samurai sword. It's taking two elements and is making it into one unified thing that is a perfect example for what he's trying to do. He's trying to do that same thing with us. And sometimes we resist that process, but what he's doing is he's beginning to explain to us and beginning to show us the love of God. And as he shows us the love of God, we can know and understand even more the habitation of Christ within us. If you look with me to 1 Corinthians, and we'll go to 1 Corinthians 1. The scripture says here, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24 says this, it says, with Christ, the power or the dunamis of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is living dunamis. A living example, a demonstration of who God is. The expression of who the Father was. That's what it tells us in Hebrews, is that he is the expression of his nature, the exact representation of the Father's nature. The expression of his glory. This dunamis that we see is the expression of the Father's glory. It's the expression of his love towards you. It is the expression of his authority that he gives you. Let's go to chapter 2. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. He said, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Christ Jesus and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Demonstration of spirit and of power. And he's reading this for a reason, because in the next verse, verse 5, he says, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. The dunamis of God. That our faith would rest upon the dunamis of God. There's a reason that we need the dunamis of God back in our churches. Because that's where our faith is supposed to be. Our faith is not supposed to be in some man standing in the pulpit. Our faith is not to be supposed to be in something that we're looking at. Our faith is not supposed to be in some object. Our faith is supposed to be in the power, the dunamis of God. When we come into the place of the dunamis of God, we no longer are relying on religion. We're relying on relationship. Because this dunamis of God will bring us into a place of relationship. When the dunamis of God brings us into a place of relationship, then power is released. The glory of the Father is released. And change happens. Transformation happens, because you can't experience the presence of God and not have transformation in your life. There is something that is ignited when we will allow God to begin to have his way in our life. And that's what we need in the churches today, because our faith is not about our wisdom of man. Our faith is not about religion. It's not about law. It's about the power of God, the dunamis of God. When the faith becomes about the dunamis of God, then the things that we see happening in the American church today will quit happening. I read something the other day. Somebody sent me an article. Anyway, basically what it said was that they were trying to combine a church with McDonald's. So you can have a McPrayer with your McWaffle. I don't know what to do. That's kind of what I thought about. Exactly. I don't know what to do with that. What they were trying to do is they're kind of trying to come up with a secular answer for what is going on in America. Rather than doing it like the book of Acts did it, they want to go and find another way to do it. We need to do it like the book of Acts. Why? Because they see, they were saying that their statistics were there are 3 million people leaving Christianity each year. 10,000 churches closed last year. That's an amazing statistic. Why? Because we don't have the power of God, the dunamis of God operating. And when we have the dunamis of God operating, suddenly we don't look like everybody else. Suddenly the church begins to have an answer for the problems that America is seeing. The church begins to have an answer for those things that we've been experiencing. And we begin to look a little different than our neighbor. We're not subject to just the same secular reasonings as everybody else. We can begin to operate in a brand new authority. This is what God is looking for from us. This is what He's expecting from us. He's expecting a church to rise up and become who He said we could become. And we can only do this if we receive the dunamis power and authority He's given us. If we receive it and begin to operate in it, begin to understand that it makes a difference. Because we should look different. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. And I've been called peculiar, but often times for the wrong reason. I want to be called a peculiar people because I look different, because signs and wonders follow me everywhere that I go. When signs and wonders are following me everywhere that I go, guess what? Dunamis is an operation. It's an operation of dunamis power. It's an operation of the authority that God wants on our church. See, we have to begin to being about something that releases the harvest. Go to Matthew 25. He wants us to release the harvest. He wants us to operate in such a way to bring about and call about the harvest. Guess what? I sent you off to Matthew 25, and I just thought about something. Go back to 1 Corinthians 2. I want to visit something there first, and I'll get to the harvest in a minute. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2. There is something around this dunamis power that God is doing. And notice that the dunamis power comes to us and it's always so closely coupled with Holy Spirit. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Because Holy Spirit is the one who's bringing about something for us. And it shows it right here in verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. That we might what? Know the things freely given to us by God. Holy Spirit comes to bring about those things, to bring about a knowledge of God, to bring about a knowledge of what the Father has already set out for you. What He's already come and He's set it aside for you. Whatever it is that He has already spoken into your heart, He's bringing it about for you. What's freely given to us? Our access? The whole point and purpose was to give us access to Him. To give us access to the Father. I'm going to share something that's probably going to rock your theology a little bit. At least cause you to think. If God could have forgiven Adam in the garden and avoided all the rest of this stuff, I mean, why do we have all these sacrifices of animals and all these other things going on? I mean, because God could have chosen to just forgive Adam, but He didn't. He didn't forgive Adam because the problem wasn't forgiveness. The problem wasn't even the sin. The problem was a dead nature. Adam's nature changed in that moment of the sin. The sin was the evidence of the change. And the sin is one of the things that we've battled with ever since. But the problem was a dead nature. That's why He had to send the Son, because it's only the Son and only the life of an eternal being could be given to create the opportunity for your spirit to be quickened and come back to life. That's the reason, that's the depth that He loves us. That's the depth to which He goes to ensure that you can have a relationship with Him. Because the relationship we could have before with a dead nature always had to go through a priest and could not be face to face. But He so wanted to have a face-to-face relationship with you. But He wanted to have a face-to-face relationship with you so bad that He had to send His only Son. There was no other way to solve the dead nature that was within you. And this is the level that He's willing to do, to go to solve that issue for you. He so loved you that He wanted that He would sacrifice that which was His most precious thing. That's the depth of His desire for relationship with each of us. That's what He's willing to do. He wants us to make known to each and every one of us what has been freely given. What is freely given? Romans 8 and 16 tells us this. But it tells us this, that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Holy Spirit comes to bear witness that you are the children of God. And out of this children of God, because you are children of God, then He makes you heirs with Him. All that was available to Christ Jesus has been made available to you. And this is what He comes to reveal. This place of access is what He comes to reveal. The place of love is what He comes to reveal. The place of truth is what He comes to reveal. God has such a desire for a relationship with you. He has such a desire for His love to be poured out on you. Matter of fact, He's already poured out His love. He's just looking for us to receive it, to operate in it, to recognize it. When you begin to see what's been freely given, go to Romans 14, verse 17. It says that the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not just joy in the Holy Spirit, but it's righteousness in the Holy Spirit. It's peace in the Holy Spirit. It's joy in the Holy Spirit. Because, see, these are the natural extensions. Those are the things that happen out of a God who loves you. Out of coming into the place of the kingdom of God, we can begin to walk in an assurance and a confidence of peace. We can walk in an assurance and a confidence of His joy. This is what God pours out upon us. This is the purpose of the dunamis power operating around us. And for us to walk in the fullness of it. 3 John 4 says that there's no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. This is the man who was known for his love. The man who was known to be the apostle of love. He said, there's no greater joy than to know my children, those that I'm raising up, those that have been called to be heirs, the sons of God with me, that they're walking in truth. Because when we walk in truth, we're no longer walking in the deceptions of the enemy. We're no longer subject to those things where the enemy is trying to keep us from coming into the fullness of what God has already declared. When we walk in truth, we're able to be an exhibition of the light. We're able to demonstrate accurately who God is. To be the witness that He called us to be. Because we operate in truth. When we operate in truth, we're no longer needing or having a need to twist and turn and control and manipulate someone else because we have on something all greater on our side. Go to Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by what? The dunamis of the Holy Spirit. The dunamis of the Holy Spirit. Abounding hope comes forth from this dunamis of the Spirit. When as we begin to know and understand and operate in this dunamis of God, then there's an abounding hope that comes forth. Why? Because the abounding hope is the foundation for faith. And the foundation of faith is hope. And faith, empowered by hope, brings us into the nature of who God is. Brings us into the nature, brings us into the demonstration of who God is. It's a little hard sometimes to go and just do what God is telling you to do if you don't really have the hope, the faith, that it's going to be the way He said it was. That's why He's releasing to us the dunamis that brings the breaker anointing with the hope. There's a breaker anointing being released in hope through that begins to spread it out and give you the possibility and the understanding that I can do this. Whatever God has asked or tasked you with, not only has He tasked you with it, but He's also given you the power to overcome it. The ability to exceed what you've known. Can I share your dryer story? He shared a story with me the other night, and I had to repent. His dryer broke. Okay, for the tape, because you can't see who I pointed at, it's Enrique. His dryer broke. V. Marie managed to fix it the first time. She put a new belt on it. Which was, I was impressed with. I'm impressed. Exactly. Then it broke a second time. And you know, he said, don't fix it. God's going to give us a new one. He says, I'm not good for this fixing thing. I don't want a bunch of junk. God's going to give us a new one. And how long did it take for a new one? Less than a week? Same day. God brings a brand new washer and dryer. He didn't say nothing to anybody. He never asked anybody. God just shows up. You know what? I had to repent because, see, I know how to do those things. I know how to fix those things. When my dryer broke, I went down and trotted myself down and I bought a motor and I stuck it in there. But I never used my faith to solve the problem. Now, a dryer is something that I can manage to fix. But guess what? There are problems that we come up against that, you know what, you can't fix. And you better have an operation of faith going on in your life to get it fixed. You better have an understanding of what faith is and an understanding of how to operate in faith. Because see, when you understand how to operate in faith, then this operation can go into effect for you and do something that you never could do. Sometimes we get real comfortable with doing things because we have a natural ability or we're a natural talent for it. We get real comfortable and our solution comes from our natural abilities and our natural talents. It comes from our understandings. It comes from maybe we have enough finances to do it, and we never even inquire of God with faith. And that's why I had to repent. That's what I was writing in my notebook. Repent. Because why? Because see, I delved into my natural talent when I had this situation. Rather than looking to God for the solution, Lord, what is it you want to do here? Because see, if I begin to exercise my faith in the small things, now it prepares me to exercise my faith in the big thing. The thing that totally I can't do anything about. Except God. What are you using your faith for today? I'm asking you because that's what he asked me. What are you using your faith for today? What did you use your faith for this morning? What are you using your faith for? God has prepared us through these processes, through everything that's available to us. He's giving us examples of how to do something in a supernatural way because we are supernatural people. We are spiritual people. We're supernatural beings. And He wants to do something in us that looks different. We're not dependent on just our own strength anymore. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. So He made me repent. A minute ago, I was speaking about there's no greater joy than to hear that my children walking in the truth. Well, guess what He opens up John with? This is what He opens up, the book of 1 John. So in 1 John, He says this. What was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen with our eyes, and what we've beheld in our hands handled concerning the word of life. He's talking about the testimony of Jesus here. It's the testimony of Jesus. It's the testimony that they interacted with, that they lived with, that they walked with, that they ate with. That's what He's saying. And that life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father. He was with the Father, and which was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that also you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Hallelujah. Why? So that our joy may be made complete. There's a purpose for this, and what He's saying is that this is the testimony of Jesus, and what makes our joy complete is when people who are hearing the testimony, not only see the testimony, hear the testimony, but partake of the relationship and the fellowship with the Father. That's the joy being made complete. That's the joy that we're being brought into by the Holy Spirit. That's the joy that God is releasing through the dunamis power. Relationship. Relationship. Fellowship with Him. Fellowship with this power and authority from on high. Fellowship with a different way of doing things, a different way of looking, a different way of being, so that no longer do we have to condemn so many people to hell because we are doing something that attracts them. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that He's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but dunamis, love, and a sound mind. I think I explained that one the other day. But the dunamis that He's talking about, it's a place and an authority, and it's a demonstration of who He is. So not only do we have love, but we have the demonstration of who He is so that we can do something with it. So that it can do something with us. It's got to start in us, because if we don't have the numinous love in us, we don't have this love within us, it's not going to do much good to somebody outside. I'd like to tell you it's different. But, you know, I've had the chance to recently to realize, you know, I have some areas in my love walk to work on. Every one of us has areas in our love walk to work on. When we went on this cruise, it turned out that there were almost 500 people, 480 people were of the LGBT persuasion on that ship. About a fifth of the people on the ship. Now that's a challenge. Because see, when you had the things that have happened to me in the background, that's a challenge. But you know what? God showed me how to begin to expand the love walk. I don't approve of what they're doing, but I can love them as individuals. And I need to. I need to. I need to walk in love on them as individuals, because if I don't, who will? If I can't do that, then what good is my faith doing me? It doesn't mean that I embrace what they did or what they do or who they were touching. It means that I have to embrace and know them and give them an opportunity to know Christ through me. Hallelujah. Let's work on our love walk. Hopefully you don't have to work on it quite that drastically all of a sudden. Hallelujah. But guess what? 1 John 4:16 says, the one who abides in love abides in God. The one who abides in love abides in God. There's something that happens when you abide in God, and there's something that happens when you begin to allow this dunamis power to shift your operation. Because when you're abiding in God, in Mark 11:22, it tells us to have faith in God. That's not a place for your faith. That's a place for your habitation. We tend to look at having faith in God as being a moment of something that's where our faith is going external. No, it's not. It's going internal. Our faith is in this God. In other words, our faith, it now becomes not an expression of where we're going with our faith, but where we're at in faith. We're standing in Him. When you're standing in Him, now all of a sudden, you can declare that the atmosphere is going to be around you. You can declare what the light is going to begin to overtake the darkness around you. Because, see, you're standing in the place of faith. You're standing in the place of God. When you're standing in His heart, you can begin to see clearly what He wants to do. We've talked often about ascending into God and learning how to get into that heart. And you know, the thing that happens when you do that is you begin to see clearly. There's so many things that when I'm in God's presence and I'm in His glory and I'm seeing all this stuff, it's like your mind is so clear and you just bam, 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 bam. And then when you come back to your normal room and look around and you can't remember what it was that you were thinking about. Like, can I just write all this down while we're here? Because when you come back, it's like it was so clear a minute ago, and now it's already fuzzy. You see, but faith happens when you're in Him. Faith is released when you're in Him. That was one of the things that I began to see early in my Christian walk, was that when I got into God's presence and I prayed, things would happen. And you'd think, well, if you notice that within the first couple of weeks, that you would just stay in that place, but that hasn't been my journey. I want it to be my journey, but I'm having to learn how to do that. I think all of us have to learn how to do that. If you've got a way to do that all the time, then let me know. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. Let it be the place that you're having faith. Let it be the position of faith. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're going to go to Matthew 25. Are you seeing that dunamis is not just a way to get Cadillacs lined up in your barn? Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that dunamis affects every area of your faith, every area of your walk? It brings you into a place of truth. It brings you into the fullness of God. That it comes to bring you into an understanding of Christ in you. How to know and receive this love that's greater than anything that we can understand. This is part of what dunamis does. But it's just a part. Because I believe that dunamis, because it's an expression of who God is, it's as unlimited as who God is. And we'll be just now beginning to tap into and understand what that even could possibly be. And I think we've only seen a small portion. There are many different words that are translated, that dunamis is translated into. This is going to be yet another expression. Often it's translated as power. And sometimes it's translated as miracles. Sometimes it's translated as effort. But there's another one here that's being shown. Let's go to verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each one according to his own ability when he went on his journey. Do you recognize the word dunamis there? He gave to each one according to their dunamis. The word ability is dunamis. He gave to each one according to the dunamis. What did it say? That we were blessed by the dunamis that's working in us. And this is what he's expressing. This is what's happening right here. It's a living example that they were being blessed according to the dunamis that was working in them. And God had a plan. The blessing that was happening in their life was based on that dunamis they were allowing to work in them. That's why some got 5 talents and some got 2 and some got 1. And immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you have entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. I have taken the dunamis power within me, and I've begun to do something with it. I've begun to redo something with this dunamis authority that was released in me. And his master said, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. Now I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Into that which is complete. Enter into the fellowship. And also the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. And the master said, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put into you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you'd be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you had scattered no seed. I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground, and see, what I have is yours. He gained nothing. He gained nothing. And his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. You ought then to put my money in the bank. At my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. What is he saying? The word is the talent. What you do with that word, determines what will happen, what happens. Because see, when we have the word and we don't do anything with it, then what we have is taken away simply by attrition. When we don't do anything with the word, then the very nature of the things that go on around us, fear and other things, begin to take away what we have. And we no longer even hang on to that. But God said, this dunamis power working in you, when you will activate it and allow this dunamis power working in you, he said, then you'll enter into the joy, you'll enter into the relationship with me. You'll enter in because the word that's in you begins to have a harvest, and that harvest begins to gather others to me. That's what he's looking for. For us to activate this place of faith, to come into a place of faith so that there's a harvest that is released around us. There's a harvest that we come into. The harvest can be people, and often it should be souls and people. But your harvest can be many other things. But it's just having the Word of God alive in you is part of the harvest. Because now you can become an active participant in the plan of God in your life and in the lives of others. He wants each one of us to rise up in the understanding of this place. In doing what Christ did, in Acts 10:38, it tells us that he anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and dunamis, and he went about doing good and healing those who are oppressed of the devil. This is the harvest that comes forth. This is the 5 talents being returned back to the master. Whether you do that with a sozo, whether you do that with salvation, whether you do that by making an investment in somebody else so that they can begin to understand who they are, sometimes somebody just needs a hand. Sometimes they just need somebody to help them move. It's all part of the harvest. It's all part of coming into a place where we look different than the world around us. The expression of God. The expression of God is released. Expression of who he is, the expression of his love is released. The breaker anointing for your life is released. The glory of God is released through dunamis power. But it takes not just the dunamis, but it takes the love. When those 2 things come together, it releases glory on his behalf. Because no glory goes to the Father unless love is involved. That wasn't something I planned to, but it's part of the picture. It's part of the picture. Because it takes the love of God to be part of it. To be part of it. Because see, power without the love of God never gets us anywhere. It just becomes something that puffs up. But power combined with the love of God and the knowledge of Christ within you, now that is something that releases the glory of God to happen in this earth. Where we're reaching out and by faith, we're obtaining something that's greater than just ourselves. By faith, we're looking and experiencing something that's greater than just ourselves and our own abilities. Hopefully, I've stirred you to want to look at your love walk a little bit. Stirred you to want to look and receive the dunamis of God, that something can happen. It's not just limited by our own ability, but something far exceeds our abilities. That we would come to know the surpassing greatness of His dunamis toward us. His dunamis toward us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.